It is amazing. And, you know, I mean, the other news item that is very similar to this news item, which I was sharing with Pastor John last week, was the fact that there are a lot of these mega churches that are folding.
Yes.
And because, again, they had the aggressive building plans. They did the whole Rick Warren pattern of building the fellowship hall first.
Yeah.
Because they would be able to raise money for a fellowship hall. And once they did the fundraising and got the big fellowship hall, then they could still appeal for make the second appeal that, well, but we don't have a sanctuary. Oh, and so we need to do a sanctuary. Because if you do the sanctuary first, that's the emotional part. And that everybody feels the need that they have to have a sanctuary. And so once you then extend yourself monetarily and you pledge it all to the sanctuary, and then they come back and they have a building fund for a fellowship hall, well, you know, most people aren't going to dig in their pockets that deep for a fellowship hall. They'll think that's more of a luxury, and that's not a big deal, and it's not as important as a sanctuary. So you build the fellowship hall first, then you really appeal to the heartstrings, and that we don't have a sanctuary. We need a sanctuary. And so then you've got two major buildings, two major debts, all of these people who have pledged all of their money, and the economy goes sour.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, these wonderful, wonderful believers who were totally solid on the Word of God and loved the Lord with all their hearts suddenly decided, you know, I haven't got the money to make it, to live up to my pledges that I pledged for all of these buildings. And now the churches are sitting there with these mortgages.
Right.
And they're doing the same thing that everybody else, all the other heathens did with their mortgages, and they're just sitting there high and dry. They've got mortgages that are much bigger and much more expensive than what the property's worth, and the congregations are drying up because these people were never saved in the first place, just like you said, Pastor.
Right.
And as soon as when the economy is good, everybody's in church, everybody's happy. When the economy is bad, all of a sudden the giving dries up, people no longer give sacrificially, and the true believers are the only ones that are still doing that. The unbelievers have just gone by the wayside, and these things are drying up, which I think is great. They're collapsing on themselves under their own weight, and I think that's actually a good thing.
That is a good thing.
For our country, and that kind of transitions us a little bit now into what Pastor John was asking at the first part of the program.
Right.
Where is the church?
Well, I'll tell you what they're also doing. I have a picture on my website right now of Donnie McClurkin. About a month or so ago, this 50-year-old, going to be 50 on November the 9th, a couple of months ago, Donnie McClurkin came out on the internet, and his article was all over the black church and the white church, TBN and everything, where he was downing TBN, the pastors on TBN, the Benny Hens, Creflo Dollars, and all the rest of them. And everyone was praising this man as a great man of God. See, Donnie McClurkin, the gospel singer, ex-homosexual, has finally come out against the pimping, crooked pastors. I told you people back then not to believe that. I said, this is another scheme. You guys got to understand the scheme of the black pastor. McClurkin knows that the economy is shot. The folk ain't got money. So in order for him to rake up the money and to get the money from the pimping pastors that have dried up the church, now he has coming up. It says, come and celebrate Pastor Donnie McClurkin. Now, celebrate what? His birthday gala.
50th.
His 50th birthday gala on November the 9th. Now, that's a while off. But now what gets you is when you look at that flyer, and it's right up on my website. It's going to be held in New York. The tickets are $150. $250, $500, $750. Tables are $3,000, $5,000, and $7,500 a table. Now, all of this. It's a black tie affair, and it's by invitation only. Now, I'd like some of you black Christians out there to tell me, why did you exonerate? Because some of you have this guy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to check a particular website right now because I just feel like going there to see if it's up there. I just want to see, and I'm hoping that what I see, and let me kind of shrink this down a little bit, I'm hoping that what I see is no longer up there, because if it is still up there, I'm going to have tremendous difficulty. Let me go to this particular ministry, because all of you people were praising this guy as a great pastor. Look what Pastor McClurkin says. Look what he... I've told you not to listen to these lying pimps. That's all they are. Now, I'm going to a website that my website is connected to. Let me see if he's still got the article up here. Yep, there it is. See, McClurkin's love for the church. And it's on a website. And I'm wondering, what are they having this article up on this website for if McClurkin is showing himself to be the pimp that he is? Now, if anybody knows Tim Butler, you need to get in touch with Stand Up Ministry and tell him to take that lying article about McClurkin's love for the church off of Stand Up Ministry's website. Because McClurkin is a pimp just like the rest of them. He talks a good line. And Bob, I don't think you saw this because you weren't here a couple of weeks ago when I showed the picture of that guy to Mark Ramsey. You don't know who that is, do you, Bob? No, you don't know who that is. That's a guy that used to be a co-pastor in Living by the Word Bible Church with me, Charlton Davis, who stole the radio ministry,
okay,
coming all on YouTube. What is he doing on Stand Up Ministries website? See, I'm saying, I'm looking for some real Christians now. Mm-hmm. And this guy believes that Fred Price is saved. This guy, man, you people are lining yourselves up with crooks and thugs, the worst kinds of thugs. And I flew to New York with Tim, so somebody needs to tell the new pastor, Butler, that he needs to get these people off. I'm not going to tell him anything, because I think somebody may get offended, you know, when you try to help these people and try to tell them you don't know what you're doing, you don't know who you're aligning yourself with. These guys are gangster thugs, and they talk a good line in Christ Jesus. You got to ask, why would Charlton Davis try to come against Creflo Dollar's tithing manipulation when he supports Fred Price as a Christian? It makes no sense at all, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
None at all. Right. But, I mean...
But it's what McClurkin is doing.
Yes!
Is he's calling everybody else a pimp so that people won't realize that he's a pimp.
Absolutely. It's a form of subterfuge where they won't look at you. Mm-hmm. But then I'm trying to... Okay, well, what are you asking for? $7,500 a table,
right,
for somebody to come to your birthday party, and yet you're talking about these pastors are raping the community from the money.
Right.
I mean, that's the skillet calling the kettle black.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense at all.
No.
But you see, Bob, that's not the church, because the church knows. It's just ridiculous. And that's where we are today. You see it in the white church. You see it in the black church.
Mm-hmm.
You see all this mess happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you people that this is not the church.
Right.
You have to stand and be alone by yourself in most cases, lose practically all of your friends when you stand up for the truth.
Right.
You will find a traveler now and then.
Yeah.
Not all these people. I got an email this morning telling me to pray for a preacher that's going to England to do a revival there. I know what this preacher believes about certain mystic practices. I don't know how to pray for this preacher. Because I don't know what he's going to share with the people when he goes to England. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get serious about who we're following now.
Yeah.
And why we're following these people. And you have to question everybody, even question yourselves. But I just thought that it would be interesting. I had no idea that Tim still had this pimp on his website, because when you read an article, you don't just believe that article. There's a picture of Tim, and Tim is he's called to preach. Well, I'm looking for a call of discernment, because you need to discern whether these people that you're putting up on your... I hope I don't have any people connected on my website that I would be friends with that are coming against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So where is the church today? I know where I am. I don't know where most of you are. And let me say this. I got a call, Bob, from Atlanta, a good friend of mine that used to come and worship with us. And he said that a lot of people are coming to my website looking at the clips, and they're saying, Pastor John, we've never heard anything like this. That's why I got the James exegesis clips up. They've never heard it. I got one student of the Bible says, John, I listened to each clip time and time again. He says, you have so much in 10 minutes, I have to listen to it. And the brother told me on an email, I have to redo my whole faith now.
Right.
Because of what these people have done to these Christians. Yes,
absolutely.
They have ruined their lives.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you come to my website, I don't argue about the pimps anymore, because I'm going to let them pimp.
Mm-hmm.
God told me to just put the truth up.
Yeah.
And the real people will come to know the truth.
Right.
And the people that are going to follow, man, Coral Ridge is gone. You're going to see all the other big ones fade and fade away.
Sure.
I think they had a guy. It was the son of, oh my goodness, it was the son of someone, thinking of his church, a huge Bible ministry. His daddy was well known. I'm not going to say that it was Jeremiah. It could have been David, Jeremiah's son.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on an interview, either him or someone like him, talking with someone else, and the guy was just compromising everything away.
Right.
So the way the gospel used to be proclaimed, their sons have taken over the ministry, and the sons have compromised it to keep the machine oiled.
Right.
And to keep it going.
The best reverse example of that was Shuler's son, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where Shuler's son actually said, no. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to forego this fortune. I'm going to forego this empire. Because I can't compromise the word.
Right. Right.
That's...
And his own daddy got rid of him.
Yes.
Because, see, that's what happens when you won't compromise.
Yeah.
They'll have to get rid of you because you will show
and
him...
And where have you... And what have you heard of him since?
Haven't heard anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Disappeared.
Because that's what they do.
So that's where the real church is. The real church is under the radar. The real church is in very small and shrinking congregations. They're increasingly meeting privately, increasingly meeting in homes, increasingly meeting in informal Bible studies where it's not about money, where it's not about the pastor or the personality. It's not about being seen.
Yeah.
It's not about any of that stuff. It's about faithfulness to the Word of God.
And you know what I like about our fellowship, even in that, Bob? We have just done away with all of the... now, we may sing a half a verse of a hymn before we have the gospel preached to us. You know, because that's what I've instituted, because we don't have musical instruments that much.
Mm-hmm.
Al doesn't come as... I don't know, he may be ill, or maybe he can't make it. But what we do is we have a half a verse of a song, and then we begin to proclaim. And by the way, for those that live in L.A., the worship will be here next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be out there. It'll be here Sunday at 10:30. But we meet informally. We come in, we meet, we have the Word of God. We love the Word of God. The people that meet with us are refreshed. We had a refreshing Bible study on Wednesday. No arguing, just looking at what God says about how we're supposed to live as Christians. Have visitors come into the Bible study. And one gentleman said, Pastor John, I've never heard this before.
Right.
This is, and then the guy said, I thought it was supposed to be that way, but I never heard it placed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pastors in these churches have just talked like you talked about. We need money, we need this, we need that, and they forego telling the people what they need in order for spiritual growth for money.
And I would say also that the true church is increasingly on the internet.
Yes.
They're on through informal services.
Yes.
Through YouTube clips and things like that, where they see a solid preacher
Teaching
solidly, not asking for a dime.
Right.
just asking for another hit on his website.
You're right. And they're going there, and they're going there getting stuff. And what I like about YouTube, Bob, is that the person can write me and tell me what they think about the clips,
right,
and I respond right back to them.
Right.
In other words, I have one guy that's in Atlanta. He's telling everybody over YouTube. He said, my pastor is John Coleman in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he's my pastor because the guy's been in my home, sat in this studio.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here when he was in L.A.
Right.
And he said, there is no one else out there,
yeah,
saying anything,
right,
but trying to make some money.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering why, and that's what, Bob, this is what gets me. Why would anybody try to become a pastor and open up another church building? You got so many churches that are empty,
yeah,
in all of our cities.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need another church building. You don't need another ministry. What you need to do is start proclaiming the word of God where you live. And God will send a traveler now and then. And people that are playing with the word of God will be gone. They, mm-hmm, will leave.
Yeah.
They will not be a part of that. And that is what we must do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church is, like you said, man, we're not hiding out. We're getting
under
ready to go under the radar. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're not flying above the radar.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are now below the radar. Mm-hmm. We are. When you see us, you don't even know you're looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the other stuff out there, it's going to be nothing but confusion.
Right.
Because they're going to get you and rape you and take everything from you. My goodness, 6 minutes left. We're going to try to end this up. I'm going to end up with some scripture here, and then we'll end this up to try to encourage you. Okay, who is the body of Christ? It tells me in Ephesians 1:23, which is his body in the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of the body of Christ is us that depends upon Christ and not upon what the world says. Colossians 1:24, Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of the body, which is the church. See, the church suffers, Bob. Mm-hmm. The church is supposed to suffer. Mm-hmm. That's why the series that I got up on James, I'm talking about suffering. As a matter of fact, I think it was part 6. I have it on the logo there. Yeah, there it is. The theme of the book of James is suffering and endurance. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to teach the people, this is what it's all about. It's not about building another wing, getting in financial debt, fussing over a crooked pastor, and when he comes in with spiked hair, he wants to put on a Rick Warren shirt. He wants to talk like Chuck Smith. He wants to put on seminars like John MacArthur, and it's going to cost you all that money to do that when you can just pick up your Bible, stay home, live the Christian life, and rejoice with a handful of believers. That's what it's all about. Because where are you going to find a church? They're gone.
Amazing, Pastor. It's amazing times.
Yeah, it is. I never thought that I'd live to see this, Bob.
And it's been fast.
Too quick.
Yeah.
It happened so quick that it caught me off guard, and I'm out of breath because I see the things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy call me today and said, Pastor John, guy in the barbershop told me he was a Muslim and a Christian, and he said that it all goes together. And I said to the Christian man that was talking with him, why did you try to reason with him?
Right.
You should have left him where he is in his foolishness. And he said, I couldn't believe it. And he had the other guys in the barbershop believing him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, leave them alone. If they have no discernment, that is because they refuse to look at God's word for what it says.
Right.
And that's what God will leave you to, a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
And that's where these people are. So I let them follow their so-called apostles and their bishops and their female pastors. Man, Beverly Bam Crawford here in Los Angeles is having a seminar, Bob, where she is having an apostolic seminar where she's calling all the apostles together in the country to meet under her headship and her jurisdiction.
Wow.
And that's in Inglewood, California here. And trust me, people are going to pack it out,
mm-hmm,
and make her a millionaire over again, because that's what they want. But in the end, Christ will say to his church, well done, my faithful servant.
Wow.
Amen. Thank you, Bob, for showing up for the webcast tonight.
My pleasure, Pastor, always.
Amen. Great. Until we meet again, Bob and I would ask you to do one thing, my friend. Stay into the word. God bless you and good night. Have a good evening.